Good morning. My name is David Brown, and this is the Be Intentional, Intentional You podcast. I'm doing a special edition, as I will call it. I've told you in the past, I'm doing this once a week now, with the exception of every once in a while, I'll do a second one or whatnot. And I had a lot on my mind this morning, and I wanted to just connect in. This is going to be a little bit longer than normal, I believe. I think it's going to be a really good one. So I hope I can grab and retain your attention through it. And the podcast today is going to be called Limiting Beliefs to Leverage. And it is my hope that through this, I can perhaps help inspire finding your leverage, right? We oftentimes find our limiting beliefs, right? Especially the stronger belief system that we have on things, that belief system tends to allow us to find a lot of optimism within the things that we believe in. And at the same time, it also allows us to hinder ourselves because there's things that feed into what we don't want to believe, and we attach ourselves to that. And I also this morning kind of got into thinking about a podcast I did a ways back. If you haven't listened in on that, listen in on it, please. It's actually one of my favorites. It's called The I Factor. It's where I discuss the difference between the I Factor, which I stands for interior factor, versus the exterior factor, right? There's always things around us that we have no control over. Right. And then there's things, interior factors, that we have control over. And we so often allow ourselves to be oppressed. Right. We oppress ourselves and we allow other people to oppress us based off of all the exterior factors. Right. Everyone and everything around us must change in order for us to be successful. Right? Or to be able to achieve whatever it is, right? And we cling to those limiting beliefs. So if you haven't listened to it, I recommend please go back on that and listen to it. That is, again, one of my favorites. And I acknowledge that everyone has a different life story, right? Through life, we go through and we adopt situations. And based off of our experiences, each situation is different. And within those situations, whatever yours is, I want you to find, again, your leverage, okay, instead of your limiting beliefs. And I'm going to share some personal information, probably more personal than a lot of people would share. And at the same time, I feel it's important to share it to kind of get the point across a little bit to where, you know, I think there's so many misperceptions of those around us, and based off of, it must be nice to be them, or oh, it must suck to be them, right? Or, you know, and all those perceptions tend to be based off of our visual of other people's exterior features or exterior factors, right? And so I'm going to share some life experiences of growing up and, you know, me, and then allowing that to kind of get the point across, right? So, for example, let me start off when I was 12 years old. You know, ever since I was a kid, I've always worked. You know, I always found something to do. And I believe the first thing I started doing was mowing lawns. You know, at one point I believe it was 8 or 9 houses on my street that I mowed lawns for. And I was 11 years old, right? And, you know, by the time I was 12 years old, I went and I opened up my first savings account, okay? And over that following year, I kept working, I kept saving, and I saved up enough money, okay, to transfer my money from my savings and open up a CD account, right? And this was in the 80s, okay, when interest rates were through the roof, right? We have very low interest rates right now. So a CD account, you know, I would never invest in a CD account right now because I don't even know where they are, 0.5%. Back then they were, I think, you know, 12, 13%. And that kind of leads me to the idea of, you know, we tend to engulf our minds in all the negativity, right? Well, where there's negativity, there's also opportunity, right? And I say that because, you know, so often people will get, like in the 80s, I'm sure a lot of people were like, oh, interest rates are so high, you know, it's just crazy. And they found every reason to justify their situation. And at the same time, there was opportunity there, right? So while a lot of people got hurt hard with high interest rates, okay, again, there was opportunity. If they invested in CD accounts, you know, they would have been averaging 12, 13% interest rate, right? So I want you, everything's so much is mindset, right? So anyway, when I was 13 years old, again, I opened up my first CD account. And over the following years, I kept adding to my savings and my CDs and all that stuff. And, you know, at that age, it wasn't a lot. But, you know, it was a little bit. And, you know, avoid the instant gratification. You know, one of the things I cringe at is when people come to me and with the mindset of an overnight success. You know what I mean? Because we tend to do that, right? We want things instantly. And very rarely are things instant, right? You know, there's a great book Fierce Conversations. And in that book, the author talks about gradual and then sudden, right? And in the whole perspective around that is, you know, we go through life and we are gradually building up. And then all of a sudden, things happen. Well, it didn't all of a sudden happen, right? People around us may all of a sudden see the results, right? And at the same time, it wasn't all of a sudden. You know, it was gradual over a period of time. And so anyway, you know, over the following years, I had saved up a little bit. And then by the time I was 18 and I was able to invest in the stock market, I invested a little bit. It wasn't much, but I was just trying to get my feet wet, right, and kind of get into that. And then by the time I was 29 years old, I bought my first home. And it's interesting because I had, by that time, I had most of my stuff in long-term retirement style investments, right, that I couldn't really tap into. And I couldn't, at that time when I was looking to buy my first home, I could only get approved for a $30,000 home. And nothing was selling for even close to $30,000. So from an affordability standpoint, I couldn't afford to buy a home. Okay. And so what did I do? I leveraged. Okay. Now, again, this podcast is called Limiting Beliefs to Leverage. I leveraged my options. So instead of buying a single family, I found that I could actually buy a multifamily. And I ended up buying a two family. And with the two family, I was able to afford buying an actual two family because they're able to use the rental income part of it as income to help you from an affordability standpoint, right? And so, you know, a lot of times people get caught up, oh, I want a house, but I can't afford it. Well, you likely can. Again, you have to set your limiting beliefs aside and find your leverage. Leverage what you have. Leverage what is there before you. Okay. And, you know, I say that because, you know, housing, now I'm a licensed real estate salesperson in the state of New York with Keller Williams Realty and, you know, Greater Rochester here in Rochester, New York. So just a little disclosure there. you know, this isn't really a housing podcast, but I am going to mention it. So I just wanted to throw that out there a little bit. And, you know, I find people oftentimes are wanting to buy houses, but they can't afford it, right? And part of my job is how can we get them to afford a home? And one reason why I firmly believe in the housing, and one reason why I became a licensed real estate salesperson, is I really found from an economic standpoint, the economic difference between someone who is a homeowner and someone who is a lifelong renter, right? You know, home ownership is, if you, and you can research this, Google it. I don't have any specific articles to, you know, share with you here, but you can certainly Google and you can find, you know, the supporting information on this by doing your own research. But if you, the vast majority of the average American, the vast majority of their economic wealth is in the equity of their home, right? You take the equity in their home away, the average person might have a couple thousand dollars in cash reserves, right? Now, over the next 30 years, you own a home, you pay it down, you build up that equity. At some point when you're older, right? And this is something a lot of people don't, you know, an 80-year-old person, for example, having a house where they're paying, you know, maybe they're paying $400 a month in taxes, but they don't have a mortgage anymore, right? Because they've spent their life paying that off. Well, that 80-year-old person that doesn't own a home, that's rented their whole life, they have to pay $1,200 a month for an apartment, okay? And in addition, they don't have the equity in their home, right? So housing is so crucial, and to me, is such a great leveraging tool. I bring that up because we're talking about leverage here and finding your leverage. You know, so, you know, I that's something I certainly highly recommend. If you're not in New York and you're somewhere else in this country and you're wanting to be connected in with a great real estate agent, let me know. I can certainly do that because, you know, I'm only licensed in New York State and I can't even discuss the real estate market outside of New York because I'm not licensed on that. But I can certainly put you in contact with someone that is. But anyway, you know, it's such a great way to leverage, you know. And, you know, going back to my personal life, I often get into conversations, and I know people think that through the conversations that I'm going, that I don't believe what they believe. And oftentimes I actually believe what they believe. I just feel that they are so focused on exterior factors, I'm not going to support it, because focusing on exterior factors is, in my opinion, one of, if not the biggest oppressive mindsets that we can embrace, okay? Sitting around waiting for all the exterior factors to come to fruition or come to change or come to whatever, you know, when we have no control over it, right? So I oftentimes believe in what people are saying, but again, I believe that they are an exterior factor, and I don't believe in embracing those, right? So I bring that up because, you know, up until I was 40 years old, and again, I'm sharing a little bit more information than most people would probably feel comfortable with, but I anyone who knows me knows I'm a little bit more of an open book than most, and I believe in this situation is so important. But up until I was 40 years old, okay, and it was actually beyond that a little bit, but up until I was 40, there was 1 year I broke the $30,000 a year income. 1 year. And I had just broke it. It was just over like maybe $30,300, right? And, you know, 1 year. And I was working third shift. I was working a little bit of overtime, you know. And then after that, you know, it went down, you know. And I say that because so many people get caught up in how much, oh, if I only make a little bit more money, okay? And I hear people talking about, oh, if people don't get paid enough or whatever. And again, I'm not saying I disagree with that statement. I'm just saying that's an exterior factor. And you can sit around and oppress yourself with that mindset of, you know, oh, if I only made a little bit more money. Well, you know what? The average person spends 106.3% of their annual income a year, okay, regardless of how much money they make. So we get caught up in people that make more money than us. Let's be clear, though. People that make more money than us, generally speaking, on average, are actually in a worse financial situation than we are, Why? Because the more money we make, the more money we spend. The more money we spend, the more debt we accumulate. Okay. And I tell you what, during economic hardships, someone that that has $5,000 in debt is in a lot better financial situation than someone that has $500,000 in debt. because it's that debt that's suffocating, you know. And so don't get caught up in all the exterior factors and all the what ifs, you know, and all the limiting beliefs. Let's get ourselves from the limiting beliefs and transition over outside of that based on finding our leverage. Okay, find your leverage. That's what this podcast is ultimately really about. Okay, and I say this because, again, 1 year I made $30,000. Okay, most people will convince themselves, and most people will try to convince you that if you make less than $30,000 a year, you're not making enough. You can't get ahead. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can. Okay, and kick those limiting beliefs out. I believe in you. Believe in yourself. Find your leverage. Okay. You know, even if it's instead of buying a single family home, buying a two family home, you know, and renting out the other side and, you know, having that for a few years. And then once you build, you know, you establish yourself a little bit, then you can maybe afford to buy a single family home. Okay. And then you keep that rental rented out. Right. And then you're making income, and then that rental income is paying a large part of your both your mortgages. OK, makes sense. So anyway, you know, I wanted to kind of share my personal life thing. Right. Because, you know, I know someone, and I'm not going to say names, but I know someone that worked their butt off for a long, long time. They sacrificed a lot. OK. And one day they woke up. And they were very highly successful. And people sat there and said, oh, must be nice. Okay. And like earlier in the podcast, I talked about the First Conversation book and the author talking about gradual and then sudden. And that, you know, there is nothing that happens all of a sudden outside of maybe, you know, winning the lottery or something like that. Right. But, you know, this person worked 100 hours a week. Okay. For probably 30 years, spent most of their life away from family functions, away from watching their children grow up. Okay, they sacrificed a lot. Okay, and then all of a sudden they have, you know, they have nice things, and all of a sudden people, oh, must be nice, right? Well, it wasn't nice working 100 hours a week to build up a potential family legacy, right? So, you know, don't focus on, oh, must be nice type things or, you know, all the exterior factors. And again, I urge you to go back and listen to that I factor. It's really, it's one of my favorites. And I think it's a good one that even if you have listened to it, go back and listen to it again. Okay. After watching this. So anyway, you know, I want to, again, thank you for joining in with me today. I hope that I brought some value. I hope I brought some thought-provoking ideas and conversation. That's one of the objectives I have here is, you know, being thought-provoking, right? You know, and, you know, idea-provoking. You know, not everything is a good fit for everyone. Right. My life situation is my life situation. Your life situation is your life situation. OK, find your leverage. OK, my leverage isn't going to be your leverage. Your leverage isn't going to be mine. You know, find your leverage and don't allow other people's limiting beliefs. Most importantly, don't allow your limiting beliefs to continue oppressing you in whichever way it may be. Okay. Anyway, again, I want to thank you for joining me in. My email is beintentionalpodcast@gmail.com. Beintentionalpodcast@gmail.com. And I want to thank you for joining in with me. And until next time, make sure you are intentional and be intentional. Intentionally you.